You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
I'm going to preach on loss today. I've never preached this. Well, matter of fact, I tried it this morning. I tried it this morning under the bridge and just talked about lost. And then I got to thinking, well, I just believe that God would let me preach it here. And I had something else, like 2 pages of notes. If y'all want that, I'll just send them to you. I'll email them to you on prayer, praying for yourself and praying for others and praying for the power of God. And that's all a good thought. But I was doing this thing on lost, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, there are people up in that church need to know about lost. Because you hear about Holy Ghost, you hear about healing, and you're always about getting yourself fixed, and you're wanting more prosperity and another job, and I get all of that, and I'm for all of that. But I'm going to tell you right now, God is more interested in loss than he is your healing. Oh, you ain't shouting now, but when he healed people, he didn't say, go be healed. He said, be saved. And the church got angry because he connected himself to the lostness. And healing became a product of the salvation. It didn't come just to get them saved. It was something he saw. And even if you do track the church, did I need to say I'm glad to be here and all of that? I forgot to do that. I've hugged as many necks as I could. And but anyway, I am glad to be here. It's good to be here. This is kind of like being home. And we're off on a mission field right now, so y'all need to pray for us. But and we're just believing that God in the next 3 years is raising up someone in Auburn, and we're going to shift some more gears and get to be in the churches a little bit more often. So we're excited about that. This summer we're preaching here and in North Mobile a little bit more often, and so we're excited about being able to do that. But the thing about miracles in the kingdom of God, even if you read your Bible in Acts chapter 4, when the New Testament church, and say that's us. Yeah, because sometimes you take yourself out of that. But you are part of the New Testament church, amen? And they said the New Testament church, they got to praying, and they said, help us to be witnesses. Help us to have a witness by showing up with miracles. Listen to what they said. Help us to be the witness we need to be by showing up with miracles. And I'm going to tell you right now, we put the miracles before the witness. We waiting on something to happen so we can witness. And those people said, no, that's not what we do. We witness and believe something's going to show up. See, some of y'all don't think you got anything to say. You got something to say. You got Jesus in your heart. You can tell your story, and then you can believe God to show up there. You can believe for that person to be set free and healed, but somebody needs a witness before they need to be set free. So you might want to pray less for them getting healed and more for them to get saved. Amen? I want them healed, but I'd rather go to heaven with one leg than go to hell with both of them. I'm just saying. I mean, if I have to make a choice. Now, I'm not going to be cutting my leg off. Gerald's the one back there waving because he's dealing with that. I'm not. He gives me the biggest amen on that one. Listen, open your Bibles this morning to a couple places. Let's go. We're going to end up in Luke 15, so I'm giving you a heads up on that. You can go ahead and get ready for that one. And our hashtag today is lost. Say lost. Lost. You need to get that word lost, because I'm going to tell you what, Jesus is tremendously interested in lost. As a matter of fact, y'all look at me, don't get your feelings hurt. He's more interested in what's lost than what's sitting in here. Come on. Oh, see, you didn't amen me right there, because you're thinking church is more important than the bridge and the lost people. And I'm going to help you right now. Your Bible says that when one person that is found that was lost gets into the presence of God, there's more rejoicing there than everybody sitting on the church pew. So if one person in this room comes to Christ today, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven than God would be happy for every church in Birmingham to be slammed full of praising believers. And I know you don't believe this, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. The Word of God says in the 22nd chapter of the 3rd verse of Psalms that God inhabits the praise of His people. So God is drawn to praise. But if you read your Bible in the 43rd, or I think it's the 43rd chapter of Psalms, I'll have to maybe look 34th chapter of Psalms, verse 18, it says that He is also close to the brokenhearted. So can I tell you something? I believe God is drawn to praise, and I believe He's drawn to pain. Oh, what about faith? Well, faith is in my praise. I praise. That's out of faith, right? Don't you praise? Praise is something you're praising for. Faith is I'm praising for something I don't see. So that's my faith activated. That's my love activated. But, and God is interested in that. But I'm going to tell you right now, the Bible says He's close to brokenhearted people. He's close to people that are down and out. He's close to people that are hurting. He looks for the lost. He's searching for the lost. As a matter of fact, this morning, his mercy was new for you, and you didn't get it, but he's looking for the lost. Oh, you see, you should amen right there, because some of y'all got some lost kids, and you're wondering what's going to happen to them. And I'm telling you right now, God's looking for them more than you praying for them. He's after them right now. He searches for the lost, writes whole chapters in the Bible about his attitude toward lostness. Amen? Y'all still tracking me? Let's just look at a couple of places then. I want you to look in Luke 19:10, and then we're going to go back to Luke 15. Luke 19:10. I've just been in Luke of late because Luke is kind of the theologian of prayer, and I'm trying to dig through some issues on praying and the kingdom of God. And but I just want you to look at verse number 10 if you don't mind. And as a matter of fact, it's red letter in your Bible. You might want to underline this one. And this is Jesus speaking to who? The little guy. I got tickled this morning because Pastor Gabriel made such an issue over Zacchaeus. You remember that Zacchaeus message? Got little Zacchaeus down, put him on his shoulder, put him in his pocket. And then this morning, he's up here, and he said, we've got some little old bitty packets with a little card in them. We got a little pen, you can fill them out. I just think, listen to what Jesus says. Listen to what Jesus says here to Zacchaeus about lost things. And I really want you to underline that. I mean, listen, I want y'all to underline this in your heart today. I mean, get this. Listen to what the Bible says. For the Son of Man came to make the church happy. For the Son of Man came to heal everybody. For the Son of Man came to make everybody prosper. Look at me, let me tell you something. I believe he wants to heal everybody. I believe that he wants to prosper everybody that's born again. I believe that. I do believe that. But I want you to hear what the Bible says about Jesus. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. And I'm going to tell you right now, he's seeking your family. He's seeking your mama and daddy. He's seeking your grandma and granddaddy. He's seeking your son and your daughter. Yeah, but Pastor, they've been lost so long, and they're so jacked up, and their mind's burned out, and there's just no hope for them, and they're going to hell in a handbasket, and they're laying in a bar right now, and they're in one bad relationship and then another, and they're always under some kind of spiritual bondage, and there's no hope for them. Can I tell you right now, according to this scripture that I just read, Jesus is at that shot house. He's at that place where they are. He's in that bar. He's under that bridge. He's looking for your youngest, because the Bible said he's seeking for lost folk. Amen. Okay. Your other problem is, well, they ain't his. Or as they say in Arkansas, they ain't his'n. Does anyone say that in Alabama? We don't say that down here, do we? Oh, we do? Okay, I'm sorry, Sarah does. No, Sarah says his'n. I used to say that, you'uns. Yeah. And then if it's just theirs, it's urine.
Oh, no.
I don't know, I'm just saying. I'm just processing. Here's one of the problems we... Text that. Here's one of the problems... Our hashtag is urine today. No.
No, it's not.
Don't, no. Listen. We read about him after lost people, and we process lost people as being something not just estranged from him, but not connected to him. Okay. This is... wrong scripture. I want to read the scripture very quickly here, and I'm going to get right back to this thought. It's going to be in Isaiah 43. Y'all going to get faster than I am on this one, probably. Isaiah 43, and it's going to be around verses 5 through 7. Can I read this in the Message Bible so you'll understand God's connection to lostness? All right, listen to this. So don't be afraid, I'm with you. This is Isaiah 43, 5 through 7, Message translation. So don't be afraid, I'm with you. I'll round up all your scattered children. pull them in from the east and the west. I'll send orders to the north and the south. Send them back. That's the orders. Send them back. Return my sons from distant lands. Do you hear his connection? Return my sons from distant lands. My daughters from faraway places. I want them back. Every last one who bears my name. Every man, woman, and child whom I created for my glory. Yes, personally formed and made each one. I want you to hear what God is saying about your kid, about your family member that is so lost that you think God's not connected. He said, I created them in my image. Yeah. Whew. Do you not remember Psalm 139 when the Bible said, and God, when you were in your mama's womb, wrote the pages of your life, that he didn't write a page of sin for you. He didn't, y'all didn't see, you could amen right there. He didn't write a page of bondage for you. He didn't write a page of drug addiction for you. He didn't write a page of adultery for you. He didn't write a page of pornography for you. He wrote a page of victory and glory and entering his kingdom and walking in rulership. We get drawn away from his plan, but we're still his by name. I didn't say you're going to heaven. You lost as a goose in a snowstorm. You go straight to hell. But you go at his resistance because he went to the cross to keep you from going there. I mean, he's resisting this. I've got another thought for you. He ain't your judge yet, baby. The Bible says we have an advocate when we sin. We have a lawyer when we sin. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but sometimes these lawyers that are defense attorneys bother me a little bit because they get up there and defend people of the most heinous crimes. Have y'all ever watched them do that? I mean, you ever been in court or something? Some of y'all been in court. Some of y'all been on that end of it. Some of y'all are just thankful to have that advocate up in there. But the idea is the advocate will get up there and you know you've done all this bad stuff and try to make you look good. I'm thinking, dummy, they're murderers. Would you just, are pedophiles, just let them fry. I'm just saying. But these advocates get up there and defend them. Can I help you right now? Do you not understand that angels do not understand? And the Bible says they're looking into the plan of salvation because they don't get it. And they're trying to understand what's going on with you. Do you realize they do not understand when you are doing something in sin and you come to the Lord and say, I am so sorry that he stands between you and the Father as an advocate that defends you and says, by my blood, I have opened the way to the tree of life for this individual, regardless of all this garbage.
That's right.
Some of y'all need to be thankful for an advocate. Because, I mean, I'd have thrown myself away. But I had an advocate. I'm just saying. This is the same way we need to get when we think about people being lost, and our kids especially. But I want us to look, if we could, just very quickly into Luke 15. Y'all still tracking me so far? Look, for real, just give me about 15, 20, 30, 45 minutes, something like that. No, I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. How many of you know the story in Luke 15? Like it's all red letter, right? I mean, the whole chapter, it's all Jesus talking. Well, the first part isn't, because there's always the religious group. And there's some religious folk up in here today. Oh, you don't think you are. You're too pretty. You're too pretty. You're too holy. You got everything going on. But I want you to listen to some of this. Now, the tax collectors, those are the thugs. Say thugs. Listen, quit looking at tax collectors like pencil necks. I'm just saying that's a bad word for them. That's what we used to call them when we were in school. The nerds. Quit looking at tax collectors as you know, someone that's got, you know, like trifocal glasses, which I have a pair of those, and they're just sitting around crunching numbers. When we say tax collectors, you got to look at some kind of leg-breaking mafioso thug. Amen? I mean, that's what the Bible, that's what they were. They weren't hated because they were accountants. They were hated because they were extortionists. Just saying. Listen to this. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around. You might want to underline this because some church people don't do this. Gathered around to hear Jesus. We came to get something from God today. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." I'm so glad he ate with them. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I like a God that eats. I mean, these gods that all they do is fast, I'm in trouble with that. Matter of fact, I believe in the Old Testament redemption process when it comes to fasting. You know, in the Old Testament, if you only had one lamb and you had to give a lamb, you could redeem it. You could buy it back, right? So you give X amount of money and you keep your lamb. I'm just saying, when it comes to fasting, and the Bible says we do have to fast, I'd just soon buy myself out. God, I give you $500 this month if I don't have to fast. Just, I'll redeem my food this month. Well, you can't do that, so I'm stuck on it. I still have to do it. But I'm just saying, I'm glad we do have a God that eats. But look at verse number 3, and let's just track very quickly these stories. And then Jesus told a parable. Suppose that one of you have 100 sheep, and I want you to underline some words, and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the, underline it, lost sheep? Until what? Until he gets tired, until everybody else gives up, until the world around you thinks they're dead, till everybody else says you're hopeless. No, baby, he does it till he, he does it till when? Till he finds them. Can you say that about your child, that I've got a God that's looking for my baby until he finds him? Not until he gets tired, and not until I give up, but until he finds him. And when he finds him, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me." Now watch the connection. I have found who? I found what? Whose lost sheep? My lost sheep. He identified himself. He said, "That baby is mine. I'm helping you more than you ain't man of me right now," because he looks at your lost loved one and says, "That's mine right there. That's mine right there. That's lost, but it's mine. That one's away, but it's mine." Amen? Amen. See, some of y'all have disconnected them so far from God. Well, they've just been so far and they've cursed God. I've already preached this before. I won't preach it again. But Peter's one of the worst cussers and cursers in the Bible. He cussed and cursed and got forgiveness. Some of y'all worried about, have I committed the unpardonable sin? If Peter didn't, you didn't. Just read his story. I'm just saying. All right, watch this. He brings him home and he identifies, he connects to my lost. Say my. I wish you would circle that one, because that baby is his. Say my babies are his. Woo. Hallelujah. I tell you that in the same way, say same way. In the same way, there will be more, underline it, more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people sitting up in church. Hallelujah. You don't need to repent if you're born again. I get that. But for that one, there's some shouting going on. This service this morning is not about all of us repented people. It's about someone that has not repented. We're going to get a blessing. You're getting blessed right now. You're hearing the word, you're getting blessed. I'm not saying you're not going to get a blessing, but this service isn't about blessing you. It's about somebody coming to Christ. It's the very reason Jesus came to the earth, seeking and saving. Hallelujah. When you get convinced that coming in here is about